Good morning. It's Friday, July 10th, 2009. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
Listen up. We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on Social Security. Now, thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah.
There is a war on the working class. That was Ann Feeney. Her song's called War on the Workers. And this is the Brain Labor Report. This is Wes Brain. I'm host of the show.
This is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
Coming to you out of Ashland, Oregon on a Friday. My gosh, some people actually have jobs that end on Friday. They get a weekend, and they used to make commercials for beer about this. You work for the weekend. Remember that? Oh, times have changed. The working class is such that so many people are out of work. And can you imagine knocking on doors or looking for a job right now? I think that would be so discouraging. My God, there isn't jobs out there, and there's a lot of people standing in line for each and every job there is. Many of them are poverty wage jobs. That's fundamentally the problem we have in this country. There are a lot of qualified people to work, and in fact, the jobs that are available are poverty wage jobs. Oh my God, the millions of people in this country now qualifying for food stamps is a real statement about the kind of economy we have. It's not one that works for workers. It's one that works for the corporations. We talk about these issues on the Brain Labor Report. We talk about all kinds of progressive issues. We like to tie the dots, connect the dots. That's what it's called. You can tie them any way you can get them figured out. And it's how many different issues issues do have connections to the working class. We like to talk about them on the Brain Labor Report. Always near the top of our half-hour show, we bring you the Workers Independent News. This is syndicated around the country, but for Southern Oregon, this is the only place you can hear it, here on KSKQ, our community radio station. I didn't give our letters. I got to do that, too. 94.9 FM, and we stream over the internet at www.kskq.org. Okay, the Workers Independent News for Friday, the 10th of July, 2009. Here it is.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. GM is emerging as a new company today with $50 billion in government money, having shed huge debts and liabilities in a 38-day fast-tracked bankruptcy. The last legal hurdle to that reorganization was overcome Thursday when a New York judge refused to stay GM's assets sale. The federal government will own 60% of the new company, while the UAW-run Retiree Healthcare Trust will own 17.5%. The union is paying a huge price to help GM renew itself, having given up tens of thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in cash payments to the Retiree Healthcare Trust, as well as future wage and benefits concessions. Rich Trumka is formally in the running to become the next AFL-CIO president. He is unopposed for that post. Trumka, a former president of the United Mine Workers of America, says he has great hope for the future based on a determination to reunify labor and to restore worker bargaining power. Trumka says he and his slate are committed to bringing new ideas and new energy to the helm of the AFL-CIO. Running with Trumka are Arlene Holt-Baker as executive vice president and the IBEW's Liz Schuler as secretary treasurer. Trumka pledged a vigorous AFL-CIO that will be more transparent and more accountable to the needs of the affiliate unions. Businesses that are granted federal contracts will need to verify that workers have legal immigration status, as according to Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano. Businesses will need to use the government's E-Verify system. Homeland Security dropped a no-match rule that had required employers to fire workers who had mismatched Social Security information. Construction of stadiums in advance of South Africa hosting the World Cup has come to a halt as workers demand better wages. Jesse Russell reports.
In June 2010, South Africa will be hosting the World Cup, and in advance of those games, the country needs to build stadiums and rail stations. Roughly 70,000 workers involved in those projects have been on strike for 2 days, demanding a 13% pay increase. Employers are offering the workers 10.5%. The construction is currently scheduled to be completed by mid-December, but a prolonged labor confrontation could delay the project. It is the first time the African continent has won the opportunity to host the World Cup. To prepare, 5 stadiums are being built in South Africa, in addition to upgrades to 5 current stadiums. One 68,000-seat stadium is already behind schedule due to 2 previous strikes by construction workers. Here is today's economic report. Last week saw the lowest number of newly unemployed file for jobless benefits since January of this year. Still, even with less people losing jobs, the number of unemployed workers continuing to file for benefits increased to a record high. Unemployment currently stands at 9.5% nationwide and is projected to cross the double-digit mark by the end of this year.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. Got a guest today, guest interview on the Brain Labor Report. We're going to be talking with Alicia and via the telephone. In fact, we'll get her on the horn here pretty quick. Alicia is the spokesperson for this area of the caravan, and the caravan is headed south. What are you talking about, caravan? This is the Friendship Caravan to Cuba. That's right. United States folks travel with a Friendship Caravan. It's an annual event. It's a little bit in your face. It always has been. And maybe there's some changes in the works with travel to Cuba. We'll be asking about that as we talk to Alicia, I think is her name. And we'll get her on the horn here pretty quick. Got a song for you. And this is a special song. Our buddy, Julius Margolin, we understand, is in the hospital back in New York City, and we're thinking about Julius. We play a lot of his songs, although we haven't played many lately. We're going to be playing some the next few editions of the Brain Labor Report, and we have one for you right now. And Hail to the Thief, that was a series of CDs done by George and Julius, those labor-singing buddies, that duo. And Julius Margolin sings cut number 14 here. We're AFL-CIO. Let's play that now. Here we go. Julius Margolin, I'm AFL-CIO. Hey, shout out to Julius. We're thinking about you today. I mentioned he is in a hospital in New York City, and we're playing his tunes on the Brain Lab Report. Okay, Alicia, I think we have her on the phone now. Can you hear me? Good morning. I can't hear her.
I don't hear her.
Okay, can you hear me, Alicia? Are we hearing her here?
We're not getting anything on the
phone. First, okay. She is on the phone, so folks, we're having technical difficulties, and I think what we're going to do is play another song while we see if we can make – we have her on the phone, but she's not patched through, so something – some wire's not hooked up here. We're going to turn to our engineer. Beads of sweat rolling down his forehead already. Let's do play a song. What am I looking at? Well, how about Ann Feeney, the corporate welfare song? That's a good one. Can you help us with that here? Here we go. Cut number 10. Ann Feeney, the corporate welfare song. Here we go.
It's time to end welfare as we know it and get those greedy chiselers off the dole. It's time to end welfare as we know it. Teach them a little self-control. For far too long, we've allowed these corporate hogs to belly up to the public trough. No more welfare as we know it. No more handouts. Cut them off. Now we should all be irate at this huge welfare state right here in this mightiest of nations. FDC is disgraceful to me. I'm talking aid for dependent corporations. Free enterprise, ha, the cruelest of lies. It cost us $200 billion just last year. If they paid their fair share, we'd have billions to spare. It's time to tell them the buck stop here. Let's consider Charlie Hurwitz, the CEO at Maxam, holding Redwood Forests hostage in a vicious little tax scam. It's clear cut we picked up the tab for Charlie's union busting, then paid him to pollute our water. Jesus, that's disgusting. Charlie won't repay $500 million that he stole from a Houston SNL. What say we kick him off the dole? It's time to end welfare as we know it. And get those greedy chiselers off the dole. It's time to end welfare as we know it. Teach them a little self-control. For far too long we've allowed these corporate hogs to belly up to the public trough. No more welfare as we know it. No more handouts. Cut them off. That Taco Bell Chihuahua bag for bucks for Frito-Lay. Ew, and poppin' fresh from Pillsbury needs more dough every day. That thief Ronald McDonald and his sidekick Mayor McCheesy hamburglarize our treasury in ways that make me queasy. That nasty little mermaid took tax dollars overseas to hire thugs to bring poor Haitian workers to their knees. It's time to end welfare as we know it. And get those greedy chiselers off the dole. It's time to end welfare as we know it. Teach them a little self-control. For far too long we've allowed these corporate hogs to belly up to the public trough. No more welfare. From sea to shining sea, we must intervene to break this cycle of dependency. ADM and Cargill, General Motors, Ford and Boeing, ITT and Lockheed, and that welfare line keeps growing, growing, growing. Now Congress says we can't afford to subsidize the needy, but before we slash the safety net, let's tell the truly greedy. We're gonna end welfare as we know it. And get those greedy chiselers off the dole. We're gonna end welfare as we know it. Teach them a little self-control. For far too long we've allowed these corporate hogs to belly up to the public trough. No more welfare.
Okay, and Feeney, corporate welfare song and helping us out in a pinch here. I think we figured it out. We're going to try this again. Alicia, can you hear us this morning? Can we hear you?
Well, I can hear you. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Loud and clear. Thanks for the patience, folks, our listeners there. We're speaking with Alicia Chapka. Did I say your last name correctly?
Yes.
She is with the Friendship Caravan to Cuba, and this is an annual event. I believe caravans travel throughout the United States and converge and head on to Cuba. Remind us of what this is all about, please, Alicia.
Sure. This caravan to Cuba is the number 20 caravan.
Wow.
So since 1991, Pastors for Peace has been taking humanitarian aid to Cuba, but this project is not about with the aid helping the problems or solving the problems of the Cuban people. We believe that the blockade has to be lifted, the travel ban have to be lifted, and we have been bringing humanitarian aid as a symbolic gesture to show to the Cuban people that in the United States there are many, many of us who believe that this blockade is unjust and illegal and immoral. So it's a way to show our solidarity to the Cuban people.
Wow. Okay. Well, and I know that you are here in Ashland, Oregon. You've been, I think, traveling south. You're heading today down to California. And tell us about the caravan here on the West Coast. How many folks are on it? And then I want to ask you about the event in Ashland last night, too, Alicia.
So far, we are only four. We are going to more people are going to be joining in California until we get to the border in McAllen, Texas. We have been in different cities in Oregon, starting in Portland. We went to Albany, Corvallis, Newport, Eugene, and then last night we were in Ashland. We're really happy to be here. This is a beautiful area. We have been hosted by many different groups, committees, churches to bring the message of this caravan and, you know, to explain to people why we're doing it and why we think that the blockade is unjust. And we talk about all the demands that we have. We ask people to call the White House and ask President Obama to lift the blockade.
Well, that's very important. I want to understand what's going on with that. I had an indication when Obama came on that there would be some changes about travel to Cuba. Also thought even the blockade might be lifted. That has not happened, and maybe the changes are minor on travel. I want to ask you about that. Do we see any changes coming out of the Obama administration, and what recent changes are there regarding travel to Cuba, please, Alicia.
Okay, well, when President Obama was running to become the president, he did mention that he will change the image of the United States towards the world, particularly he mentioned Latin America. And when about Cuba, he said that he will sit with President Castro without preconditions that brought some problems to him for saying that, but he maintained that he will do that. He promised Cuban Americans who live in the United States for many years now that he will lift the travel ban for them so they can visit their relatives in Cuba, because during the Bush administration, Cuban Americans only could go to Cuba once every 3 years, and there were other regulations. They couldn't spend a certain amount of money, and they could not see a certain amount of family members, and going to Cuba once every 3 years was a terrible thing for Cubans, because they couldn't see their family if somebody was dying or something simple.
Sure.
Like that, you know, basic human rights. But he promised he will change that, and he did change it. Cuban Americans now can go to Cuba anytime they want. They can spend any money they want. They can send money to their families. The problem is that he fell a little short, we believe, because if Cuban Americans are a group of Americans who can travel to Cuba, why can't everybody travel to Cuba? So there are a number of bills right now in the House and in the Senate with a great number of supporters, and we believe that it's going to be time when the bill goes to the desk of President Obama and we will see if he signs it. So I have to say that that was a promise that he made to the Cuban American, not to Cuba, and he fulfilled his promise. And now we need to push a little bit more, because we want him to really change the policy towards Cuba in the last almost 50 years that we believe failed and is completely unjust.
Well, I remember as a child, I remember the Cuban blockade, the weapon blockade, when I was in fifth grade, they had us crawling underneath our desks because we might have a nuclear bomb, and we were practicing those things back in those horrible times. Boy, that was so scary for little kids, too. We had no clue what we were doing. Just get under your desk. I remember those times. And Alicia, a lot has changed since then. This is not the same world we're talking about. I just can't believe that many people in this country, I guess, are still afraid of the Cuba-Soviet Union connection. There's a lot of old stuff going on that doesn't make any sense at all to me in the changing world. Would you comment on that, please?
Sure. I believe that is total misinformation and lies from the U.S. mainstream media, because anybody that go to Cuba find out that that's not true. The Cold War is over. The Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore. The United States trade with China and Vietnam, it doesn't make any sense. You know, the only thing that we can think of is that the United States, you know, certain sectors of the ruling class of the United States is afraid of Cuba for different reasons. You know, it's afraid because Cuba is an example, a country with so little resources, blockade for almost 50 years, can provide for the basic needs of the people, as it is, healthcare and education and many other amazing things that happen in Cuba. Doesn't happen in the United States, the richest country of the world. And, you know, Latin America is changing, and we have to say that it was because Cuba was there, because Cuba was an example. And I believe that personally, I believe that that's why the United States is afraid of Cuba, and that's why we can't go to Cuba to see for ourselves. I mean, we are adults, intelligent people. We are educated. We should be able to go anywhere we want and make our own conclusions.
Well, I agree with you, and I'm glad you're doing this friendship caravan. We certainly need to work on friendship with our neighbors, the close ones like Cuba and the ones a long ways away like Afghanistan. We've not done the world much good for it being safer in these last few years. A lot of us in this country really know this. Oh, my God, the policies of the Bush administration have been very hurtful for the entire planet, and not just the people in this country, too. Maybe fundamentally, my God, as we see the economic collapse in this country and some of the economic institutions that are thought so powerful are crumbling in front of us. My guess is, Alicia, there is something politically involved with this. There's something very philosophically involved with this. By the way, we are a mixture of socialism and capitalism in this country. The roads that we drive on, folks, that's socialism. People don't like to use that word in this country. I don't really understand it. But let me tell you, whether you're driving a Volkswagen Bug or a Humvee, you're sharing a road and we're paying with it collectively with taxes. That is socialism. We only have a couple minutes left, and I took off on this tangent, but maybe you might want to comment. I think there's a philosophical problem that, my God, people who are capitalists and the folks who have all the money, they're really scared about this example that might be different. Any quick comment on that, Alicia?
Yeah, but the argument is the same that I mentioned before. Why, if it's a philosophical being afraid of a different system that could be more humane and much more solidarity, among the people, how come we don't have any problem opening our relationship with other socialist and communist countries? The only reason that I can think of once is that there's still a group of Cuban Americans who came after the revolution that have some power. And this also has been the policy of administrations before and currently, if we don't see any changes, that, is punishing Cuba for really no reason at this point, because they are not a threat to the United States. They haven't done anything to us. In fact, it's too bad that we don't have time, because there is a history of terrorism behind all this, and there are 5 men in prison in the United States today who are Cuban, who are in prison because they're Cubans, because they were defending their country against terrorism. It's a different theme, but I just wanted to bring this up. People can look at the webpage. It's www.thecuban5.org. because, you know, those people are in prison serving sentences, life sentences, while there are a few men walking free in the streets of Miami who are terrorists and who have committed awful crimes against the Cuban people.
Wow.
Alicia, we are going to have to say goodbye this morning. We want to wish you the best with your Friendship Caravan, and it is so important. That does make a difference. I think people like you and me, Alicia, being friendly with our neighbors will go a long ways. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thank you so much.
Okay, everybody, have a great weekend. I hope you get one. And Brain Labor Report, be back again on Monday. Talk to you then.